So you think that they wouldn't hire a C-suite who's not white or not Jewish?
In entertainment, no. There's also a slight glass ceiling for that. I feel like it's not, there's a glass ceiling. It's not quite like been breached yet. You're not going to see a CFO non, I guess, for lack of a word, non-white, non-Jewish.
Unless you are a white Jewish man, well, you're likely never going to see Disney's C-suite.
She was like Asian and Hispanic.
Haitian.
Mm-hmm. Hispanic, mixed. She just left Disney like a month ago. She left because she didn't really have, she's a woman. She didn't really have either of her bosses in her corner.
Okay.
And she quit saying that she just was like, I'm not feeling right. So I feel, and that being said, that the department heads are two Jewish men. Not that I'm any against Jewish men, I'm just saying that she, being of color, felt that and she quit. Because she just said that I can't seem to like him.
The very well qualified Haitian Hispanic woman who had rapidly worked her way up the Disney ladder left the company, acknowledging that she likely had no future there, oddly enough, because she wasn't white, Jewish, or man enough.
So maybe there's this juxtaposition between corporations, especially in entertainment, that say, you know, we want diversity and all these things, but then in reality,
but it's a number. Like, you know, like I've done the report for diversity inclusion. They make us do it every year, saying, okay, like look at the shows, tell us the diverse cast or crew members that are in there. So you've seen number count go up. I'm like, yes, it's gone up, but I feel like that's like a forced metric.
Does every department have diversity spreadsheets? I'm seeing a pattern here. And that is from Disney's hiring practices.
What about like the LGBTQ?
Yeah.
I want to see them do it more in like the kids' shows.
I agree. Yeah. It's the way the world is. You can't like pretend it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
And say like, oh, we're just gonna show like one section of society, that's all the world is. The world is like full of everybody.
Right.
And that should be on screen.
So Disney's philosophy is that you're never too young to learn about the LGBTQ agenda.
Do you think Bob Iger is corrupt?
Now, yes. Now he just wants to stay in power.
He, like many, believe Bob Iger is corrupt. And if you look at the recent filings of Disney shareholder Nelson Peltz, it seems others carry the same sentiment. Last week on the Disney tapes, we met Mike Giordano, an attorney and senior vice president at the Walt Disney Company, who made it very clear that Disney promotes blatant discriminatory hiring practices. So much so that he actually expects lawsuits against Disney.
It kind of feels like we're, you know, at some point there's going to be a lawsuit. That's kind of how it feels, just because of, you know.
On this episode, our second installment of the Disney Tapes, we're going to delve even further into Disney's systematic discriminatory hiring practices to see just how far they will go to pander in the name of diversity, not only in hiring, but even how they aggressively push race, gender, and LGBTQ programming at children, young children. And in an odd twist, one production executive claims that Disney CEO Bob Iger is corrupt, and that Disney's discriminatory DEI hiring will only get you so far up the Disney corporate ladder. But if you wanted to get a top job in Disney's C-suite, you better be a white Jewish man. Now, let's pick up where we left off last week. Remember Disney Senior Vice President Michael Giordano and his claims of blatant discrimination in Disney's hiring practices?
Certainly, there have been times where, you know, there's no way we're hiring a white male.
Just kind of unspoken.
There are times when it's spoken, but
how would they say it?
There's no way we're hiring a white male. That's what we're doing. They, you know, the writers and actors will hear all the time, like, you know, I'm looking to hire writers and actors who bring diversity. I'm not looking to bring on any more clients who are white.
Now, let's meet Saurabh Makker, who also goes by the name Dave. Dave is a director of production finance at Walt Disney Television. He is intimately involved in Disney's production business behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard of Short Rookie, ABC Network?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, I'm producing it. Okay. What is your role in doing all of that?
Production finance executive.
Okay.
I'm involved with like the actual production of the show.
Okay.
Looking at, my work starts with like making the budget. That's my domain. Really, the budget for sure, that's my real work.
Okay.
Starting.
Right.
So you work on the budget, you work with the different departments, and you kind of like wrangle together a number and you give it to the network and say, is this okay with your target?
Mm-hmm.
If it is, then it's a green light. You lock the budget and you take it from there. Then we start with like the other parts of my work, which is mostly like, you know, actor payments, leases, making sure they're on track with the different budgets for every episode, right? Because we lock the budget for one game back, what we call it, right? Mm-hmm. But each episode can go up and down if it's going to
sure.
You know, so you have to make sure that if it goes up, something comes down. So you kind of like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're like managing it in real time?
Yes. Really like managing the producer, executive producers, you know, make sure they're on target for what the network and the platform is.
Yeah. Very cool. Do you work with at all with like the people who are doing the content? Like just
yes.
to kind of like
creative,
see
yeah.
what the creative side. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to work with them, right?
Yeah.
There is no doubt that Disney discriminates against white men when they are hiring and choosing who gets promoted. We heard that from Michael last week in Disney Tapes Volume 1, and Sarab confirms it here.
So maybe there's this juxtaposition between corporations, especially in entertainment, that say, you know, we want diversity and all these things, but then in reality...
But it's a number, like, you know, like, I've done the reports on diversity and inclusion, they make us do every year, saying, okay, like, look at your shows, tell us the diverse cast of the members that are in there. So you've seen the number count go up, and I'm like, yes, it's gone up, but I feel like that's like a forced metric. There's also a slight glass ceiling for that. I feel like it's not, there's a glass ceiling. It's not quite like being breached yet. You're not going to see a CFO really for lack of a word, non-white, non-Jewish.
What's included in the diversity? Like columns.
Like, so they'll say, like, is the cast diverse? They have, like, a lead cast member who's, like, of color. Do they have, like, a cameraman? Or do they have, like, a director who's of color? So that way we're good. That I can see. Like, I've seen a lot of directors, people who are of color, getting opportunities. And as a writer,
people of color.
Yeah.
What? Michael, the senior vice president, also acknowledged Disney's diversity spreadsheets in last week's report. Does every department have diversity spreadsheets? I'm seeing a pattern here, and that is from Disney's hiring practices. Not a week goes by without a news headline about potential medical supply shortages, threats to our infrastructure or power grid. And you remember what they pulled during the last pandemic. Certain medications were mysteriously out of stock. No way will I ever let that happen again. In today's unpredictable world, it's all about being prepared for who knows what they have in store for the next pandemic. Our friends and supporters at The Wellness Company have designed this unique, prescription-based medical emergency kit that is packed with 8 potentially life-saving prescription-only medications, including Z-Pak and Ivermectin, which I used myself while out on the road and starting to feel a bit under the weather. Health is everything. And this is a great opportunity to order a Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit stands ready to treat over 30 common ailments, ensuring you'll have access to vital medications when you need them most. And now save $45 per kit when you order using the code OMG. Get ready to write this down. Get your Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit at twc.health/OMG. That's twc.health/OMG. That's twc.health/OMG. And save $45 per kit today when you use code OMG. Now, let's look at the lengths that Disney will go to push a woke, diverse agenda into kids' programming, young kids, and also hear firsthand why they would do such a thing. Heart of your According to Disney Dave, it's a good idea to get younger kids introduced and educated on the ways of LGBTQ.
What about like the LGBTQ?
Yeah.
I want to see them do it more in like the kids' shows.
I agree, yeah.
Are you asking me on a date?
Your pulse and heartbeat have quickened.
No.
It's the way the world is. You can't like pretend it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
And say like, oh, we're just going to show like one section of society, that's all the world is. The world is like full of everybody.
Right.
And that should be on screen.
That's my little sib, Blake, and her girlfriend, Ghibli.
Following in Mom's wake.
Oh, nonsense. I'm just an architect.
It's important, I think, for me to see, like, you know, the LGBTQ stories, and, like, especially for kids, so that they can understand all of that and you know, introduce it to them just so that they're comfortable and all this stuff. Like, do you think that Disney, like, makes that a priority?
I think they are.
Do you think it's authentic? Like, you
not quite. Netflix does it better.
So, Disney's philosophy is that you're never too young to learn about the LGBTQ agenda. Apparently, even Dave thinks Disney has gone too far pushing the DEI thing in their programming. He talks about in one recent failed show, Debt and Other Details, where Disney tried so hard to push the DEI window that it totally tanked the show.
I feel like in our show, we insert diversity when it's not really like organic to the story.
It
kind of stands out, and like this just feels like a weird
orchestrated.
Yes,
you know?
That's the word, orchestrated, right? Like we did a show called Debt and Other Details.
What's it called?
Debt and Other Details.
Okay.
It just came out a couple months back.
I missed it.
Now it's a whodunit. The George stopped us. The main lead was really big actor. He is really big actor.
Okay.
It flopped. The audience didn't connect.
According to Dave, the cause and failure of one of Disney's many flops was again attributed to trying to force DEI into programming where it was not only out of place, it was highly inauthentic.
It happens. Yeah. But, you know, if you did the analysis, the postmortem of it, you're just like, why? Because the story, they just tried to feed in so much diversity, and they took away from what could be authentic. It just didn't feel authentic.
Yeah.
The characters felt like, oh, they're trying to hit a box. Like, there's one lesbian character there. There's one, like, African-American. There's one Indian. There's one Chinese. There's one this. But it just felt like these people would never be together in that setting. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't you have liked to be a fly on the wall in that meeting, just watching the guy with the DEI checklist? Chinese, check. African-American, check. Lesbian, check. Indian, check.
Yes.
I know, yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't feel authentic. I'm like, that's the word you guys are missing. Authenticity, you know? Like, when you're doing a show, it's got to feel real. It's got to feel like, wow, this is like, it is.
Really? At what point do they realize that DEI just isn't working? For the audience or for the shareholders? On top of all of this, Disney executive Dave even tells our undercover journalist how he feels Elon Musk doesn't believe in free speech and is only out there to seek attention.
Something that was like, you know, obviously there's all this drama with Bob Iger and Elon Musk and like all this stuff, and like I was reading something because, you know, people have come down on Disney.
He does stuff for like publicity.
Okay.
But it works for him.
Absolutely.
So I don't think what he says literally, like Elon believes this.
Do you think he actually believes in free speech?
No. No. He doesn't. Alright, so his biggest thing was, I want free speech, right?
Right.
People joined Twitter and started impersonating him. He blocked those people from Twitter.
Now, how dare they?
How's that free speech?
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're the owner, you can make up rules as you go. Like, free speech means anything. It's free speech. If I want to impersonate you, I should be allowed. Right? That's your whole speech, right?
Yeah.
Unfettered access to whatever you want to say.
What do you think Elon's motive is?
Attention.
Attention?
No.
You think he cares that much about attention?
He's a narcissist. He wants to care about me. He's got a big ego. We feel that people like him love spotlight. He wants to be in that news. He wants to be in the front page every day saying, Elon Musk did this, Elon Musk said that. That gives him energy. I've seen people like that. I know people like that. You know, like, they love that energy. They vibe on it. On that spotlight.
I've had it with all my personal and private information being exposed and exploited by big tech and big government, so I'm joining my friend Eric Prince, and I'm switching to my new unplugged phone. Protect your privacy. Get your very own unplugged phone. Go to unplugged.com/OMG. That's unplugged.com/OMG. Take your privacy back. Unplugged.com/OMG. Now let's get back to Disney's discriminatory hiring practices. Just when you thought there is no way Disney will hire you if you're a white man, Disney Dave tosses us a curveball. Imagine seeing this ad in the Help Wanted section. Job opening, Disney C-suite, must be a Jewish white man. Okay, so it isn't quite that overt. But let's say that you're lucky enough to get a job at Disney and you're setting your sights on going all the way up the corporate ladder. What's it going to take to get there? Again, by now, it has clearly been established that it's almost impossible to get hired and or promoted at Disney as a white man.
You know, I've been at the company 11 years now, so I have friends in HR and I have friends in those divisions. And they're like, look, nobody else is going to tell you this, Mike, but they're not considering any white males for this job. They're just not.
And of course, we heard how Disney even bonuses executives for hiring non-whites.
There's literally like a percentage of my bonus at the end of the year is theoretically based on whether I have hired, supported, mentored people who bring diversity.
Whether you, what kind of mentor? What do you mean?
Like if I've done things to help further the careers of people who bring diversity.
Oh, wow.
That's hiring them or helping them to get promoted or mentoring them.
That is until you apply for a job in Disney's coveted C-suite where their top executives hang out. Though Disney makes a big show of pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion across middle management and even in their casting and staffing of their productions, Dave Macker claims that Disney has a glass ceiling. When you get to the top and you have to be a white Jewish man if you want a shot at making it into the C-suite.
It was really cool to hear that, you know, that they take that into consideration, like, you know, bringing in people from diverse backgrounds and that kind of thing.
There's also a slight glass ceiling for that. I feel like it's not, there's a glass ceiling. It's not quite like been breached yet. You're not going to see a CFO for lack of a word, non-white, non-Jewish.
Dave goes on to point out that the tech industry is run by Indians and the entertainment business is run by white Jewish men. And that unless you are a white Jewish man, well, you're likely never going to see Disney C-suite.
In tech, everybody's like brown. All the,
okay.
All the CEOs are like, all tech companies mostly Indian. You look at it right now.
So you think that they wouldn't hire a C-suite who's not white or not Jewish?
In entertainment, no. That is, but it's not just us. It's like every studio you look at, you find Indians pretty much higher there. You find like the chief technology officer, he'll be Indian. Obviously technology, right?
He even claims that a very well-qualified Haitian Hispanic woman who had rapidly worked her way up the Disney ladder left the company, acknowledging that she likely had no future there, oddly enough, because she wasn't white, Jewish, or man enough.
She was like Haitian and Hispanic.
Haitian.
Mm-hmm. Hispanic, mixed. She just left Disney like a month ago. She left because she didn't really have, she's a woman. She didn't really have either of her bosses in her corner.
Okay.
And she quit saying that she just is like, I'm not feeling right. So I feel, and that being said, that the department heads are two Jewish men. Not that I'm any against Jewish men, just saying that she, team of color, felt that and she quit. Because she just said that I can't seem to like it.
So having heard all of this, what do you think Dave thinks of Disney's CEO, Bob Iger?
Do you think Bob Iger is corrupt?
Now, yes. Now he just wants to stay in power. He came with a 2-year promise. In 2 years, I'll turn the company around and I'll get you new CEO. He extended that 2026. He got rid of a few people who were like, who could have been against him. He got rid of her. Like one CFO, Christine McCarthy. She was the CFO of Disney. He got rid of her. That's why I felt like, okay, I see this. Like, he's removing any potential threat. She could have been CEO.
Yes, you heard that right. He, like many, believe Bob Iger is corrupt. And if you look at the recent filings of Disney shareholder Nelson Peltz, it seems others carry the same sentiment.
Do you think Bob Iger is corrupt?
Now, yes.
Why does Dave Mocker think that Bob Iger is corrupt? Is it because of his hiring practices, his insistence on pushing bizarre sexual and racial content on young kids, or how he uses his power and influence for political fundraising for far-left causes and leftist politicians? Who knows? One thing we know for sure, under Bob Iger's leadership, Disney, a once stellar and safe family brand, continues to rapidly circle the drain. Maybe Iger should spend more time on Disney's balance sheet and profit and loss statement, and less time checking the boxes on his DEI spreadsheet. So again, I will ask, will Bob Iger clean up his act and get the Mouse House whipped into shape, or will he continue to play the part of Goofy on Wall Street? If Iger doesn't get Disney fixed quickly, there may be a job opening in Disney's C-suite soon, if you're a white Jewish man. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Next week, we'll release Disney Tapes Volume 3, where we dive into a different executive from Disney. Stay tuned. If you want to become an American swiper, go to O'KeefeMediaGroup.com. And if you have been a victim of discrimination at the hands of Disney, reach out to us and we will attempt to assist you with our Citizen Journalism Foundation. Stay tuned.